to 1 Peter 2:9. 1 Peter 2:9. If you guys saw my shirt, you can tell that we have a little theme for camp. You know, we're going with that old school Lord of the Rings type of stuff. Because what we want you to get tonight is that you are royalty. You're royalty. God has called you to be a king and queen. God bless you. Sorry, I just had to. Okay, but God has called you to be a king and a queen because he is the king and he has ordained you guys as royalty under him. Now, I'm not talking about like weird things like you got to go and hire servants and everybody, you know, has to give you mani-pedis all day long and feed you grapes. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about spiritual authority. God has given that to you. In fact, let's just go ahead and read it in 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you are a chosen generation. Everybody say, I am. Now say it with some royal authority. Say, I am. I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. God has called you to be royalty. But you say, but I don't feel like royalty right now, Pastor Michelle. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the fights that I had with my parents, the fight that I had with my friends, and the fight that I had with my girlfriend and my ex and this, that, and the other. I don't know. But I do know this. Turn to James 1:2 because this is going to be a verse that you wish you could rip out of the Bible. You guys ever had verses like that? All right. James 1:2. You won't believe what God wrote in here. You won't believe it. You're not going to believe that God said this. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He says, you got to be happy that you're going through a hard time. Why would God write that? He says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. What does that tell me? That tells me that when there's hard times, when there's tough times, when there are tough situations, that God is training me up for something. And those of you who know that you are born again, you are saved, God, you have a relationship with God. You have been called into royalty. I want you to know that there is some royal training that needs to happen in your life because you don't just become a king and queen just like that, but you go through some training. And most of the time, the lessons that we never forget are the hard lessons. Isn't that right? Don't you remember the time you burned your hand on the stove or that pot? Have you ever done that? Instead of using a pot holder, you just grab and you're like, ah, okay, and your hand is a big bubble, all right? And it's disgusting and it's horrible, but you never forget it because that was a hard lesson. It's the same thing with your royal training. Say, I don't know how to act like a king or queen. I don't feel like a king or queen. Don't worry, you're not the only one because we are all going through this royal training to be kings and queens. So don't hate the pressures right now because they are your training to get you to that testing, to get you to that place where you need to be with God. You know, there's a guy in the Bible who everybody loves. His name is King David. Who here has heard of King David? Raise your hand if you've ever heard of King David. Good. Okay, so we have some background information about him. Because his life on his way to be a king was full of some very, very tough training. And it may feel like your life today. You know, I'm just going to give you the gist of it all, the fast versions. But those pressures in his life, they made him the person that he needed to be, the king that he needed to be. So you may hate the pressure that's going on in your life right now, but you're going to appreciate it later because it's going to teach you something. Let's look at David's life. So first thing with David is he was a shepherd boy, all right? He was a shepherd boy. That's a good thing. That is a good thing that he was a shepherd boy. He was happy about that, okay? That was his job. He took care of the sheep, all right? He's happy about this. See how happy he is, okay? Maybe you have to babysit. Very similar, okay? Maybe you have to mow the lawn. It is boring. You hate it. You're the one who has to do it. It's stinky. You don't like it. So is shepherding, okay? It's watching a bunch of sheep who just eat and poop all day long, and all you do is move them to another part of the lawn that they can eat and poop all day long. Okay, it's not very glamorous. It's not very fun. Anybody have a job like that? What's your chore? Dishes, trash, all the above? Some of you are like, my mama does it all for me. Oh, you need to get some king and queen training. Okay, but so David had that. He was a shepherd boy. But you know what happened to him? God was looking for the next king. So he has his father, Jesse, and a priest comes to Jesse's house, and he knocks on the door. Hey, you got some sons in there. God says, the next king is in your house. I need you to bring out all your sons. Bring out all your sons right now. So Jesse brings out all his sons. Everyone except David. Yeah, ouch is right. That is sad. That is horrible. His father didn't even think he was king material. He was overlooked, and I would even say rejected by his dad. Have you ever felt that way by a parent? Have you ever felt that way by somebody that you looked up to? Have you ever felt forgotten and looked over it, and nobody thought you could be something great and something good, maybe from the neighborhood that you came from or the family that you came from? But the same thing happened with David. But God did not overlook him, because God told the priest, he said, no, there's still another son. He said, you still have, is there anybody else? Because these seven sons you put in front of me, they're not it. And then the dad said, well, I guess we can bring out David, for, you know, he's out there with the sheep. So they bring him in, and he was the one who was going to be king. And God anointed him. God anointed him king. So he was anointed by God to be king, but he wasn't king the next day. Has God ever told you that you're going to do something, but it doesn't happen the next day? And you're just like, man, this is taking forever. Okay, well, listen what happens to David. So here he is. He's been told he's going to be anointed king. He's going to be king. Well, guess what he does the next day? He goes and takes care of the sheep still. Still a shepherd boy, but he gets a job for the current king, which is King Saul. King Saul is just this guy who has no care for what God wants. He is totally going to lose his kingdom pretty soon, but he gets a job with King Saul as a musician, all right? So all the band people, any musicians, you guys can look up to King David, because he was totally a musician. So he would take care of the sheep, and then he would also play music for King Saul. And the reason he played music for King Saul, because King Saul was so crazy that somebody needed to play music. He didn't have, you know, an iPod that he was like, I just need to put my earbuds in and just chill. Okay? He actually needed to, like, hire a musician to do that. All right? So whenever King Saul felt a little loopy, a little crazy, he would call David and say, I need you to play some music for me. And David would come and play some music. So that happened to him. He was a shepherd by day and a musician by night. Then you would think that, okay, is his kingdom going to come pretty soon? I mean, some good stuff has to start happening to this guy. Nope. You know what comes next? A lion, a bear, comes and attacks his sheep. They attack his sheep. God has told him he's going to be king. God has told him he's going to be blessed. While he's taking care of the sheep, a lion comes and a bear comes. But you know what? David handled it. He killed it. He didn't let them kill the sheep. He killed the lion. He killed the bear. Which leads me to the next thing, Goliath. Anybody ever heard of Goliath? Goliath was a big dude. He was a big dude who was basically bleeping out God. He was like, bleepity, bleep, 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 God. Okay? I mean, that was basically what he was doing. For like a week, he was doing that. And God's army, Israel's army, nobody would step up to him. They were all too afraid. So here comes David after he's fed his sheep, after he's been playing music. He comes to his house, and his dad says, I need you to go take your brother some lunch. They're out to war. He's like, all right then. So he goes and he takes his brother some lunch. And out there, he hears Goliath again, bleepity, bleep, 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 God. Okay, and he's just like, what? Did y'all hear this? And they're saying, he's been doing that for days. And David was so angry and so upset, they said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Hold me back, hold me back, hold me back, hold me back. I'm going to kill him. I mean, he was ready to go at him. He was so ready that finally they said, just do it. You just do it, David. You go do it. And they let David walk out there, not in armor, not with a sword, but with a slingshot and a couple of rocks. A couple of rocks. And he took down Goliath the giant, and he took down Goliath the giant, and he swung his sling, and he hit him straight in the head, and he knocked him down, and he was dead. David killed Goliath without a sword because God's anointing was on him, because he had the confidence of God. But you know what? We know what he told everybody? He said this. He said, because I killed the bear, I could kill the lion. And because I killed the lion, I could kill Goliath. You see, your trials that are going on in your life, they're leading you somewhere. So you can sit and cry about them like a baby. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you not want me to be real up here? Did you want me to play around? Or do you want to get the word of God tonight? Right? This is king and queen training. This is this. If this was Kumbaya service, it'd be totally different. I would totally not be saying this stuff. But this is king and queen training. You're a king, you're a queen. So we can sit around and mope about our situations, or we could realize that just like David, whose father rejected him, while he was doing his job with the sheep, a lion came, a bear came. And when he went to go deliver lunch, there was Goliath, a giant that nobody would step up to. But instead of crying about it and saying, oh, well, I guess the Philistines will just own this land and I'll never be king, he said, no, 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 I've been through some training. I can handle this. I can do this. There's a God backing me up. So you're thinking, great, woo, he killed Goliath. It's awesome. Things are looking great for him. Except that this King Saul gets incredibly jealous and starts chasing him to murder him. King Saul, who loved him, who let him shred, you know, in his bedroom or whatever he was playing music at, in the dining room, okay, in the conservatory, I don't know where he was at, but he was letting, he all of a sudden, he got this incredible jealousy that young David was going to be an awesome king, that he decided to go after him and try to murder him. David was so afraid for his life that he went to a foreign land and he pretended like he was a crazy person on the streets, babbling to himself, looking like he was crazy just so he could hide from Saul. You would think he would be like, come on, God, you said, have you ever told that to God? I have. God, you said you would do this for me. You promised me this. Do you think he ever said, you said, God, I was going to be king. You anointed me. I didn't ask for this. And there he is acting like a crazy person in a foreign land instead of being king. So he went on and on through these trials over and over and over again. And then finally, Saul dies and David becomes king. After all those trials over and over and over again, he got through it and he becomes such an amazing king that we are reading about him today over thousands and thousands of years, that we are reading his stories and being encouraged. Not only that, but through David's lineage, Jesus Christ comes out of that. You see, God was training him up to be that strong because he needed that lineage, that strong person who was going to follow God so that Jesus Christ could be born through that lineage. You see, I don't know what God's calling you to do. I don't know your destiny. I don't know your calling. But you have one. God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. Don't kid yourself. God has something great for you. But you've got to wake up and realize that you are a king and that you are a queen. And these trials are training you for something. They're training you for your future so we can mope around or we can get built up by God through these different areas. So I'm going to give you 2 points tonight. 2 points on when training starts. Are you ready? Are you ready? All right, number one. When the training starts, remember, number one, what can I learn from this? What can you learn from this trial? What can you learn from this problem? What can you learn from it? When you get in an argument with your parent, when you guys don't have enough money to pay the bills, you need to ask God instead of saying, God, where were you? Where are you? You say, God, what can I learn from this? Can I learn to trust you with my finances because I know you're going to bless me when I tithe? No matter what anybody else says, money is going to come in. How about when sickness comes around? You're saying, God, how come we're sick? How could we be sick? Can you learn that he's the healer? Can you learn that no matter what the doctors say, that he's going to heal you? When you get in a fight with your friend and you think that they were the only person you could ever trust ever, ever, ever in the forever, ever world, okay? Can you learn that God's going to be there for you and he's never going to leave you? He's never going to forsake you. You see, there's a lesson to be learned in the trial, but you've got to find it. You know what we often do with God? And maybe you're doing it tonight, and maybe you've been doing it all day and all week. It's not fair. Have you ever said that? It's not fair. It's not fair that they always get blessed by God. It's not fair that their parents are together. It's not fair that they live in that neighborhood. It's not fair that they get those clothes. It's not fair that they go to that school or that they have a car or whatever the thing is. You say it's not fair that they have that skin tone. That's what girls say. No, this is what girls say. It's not fair that they have those eyebrows. Oh, no, girls don't say that. I feel a little alone right now. Okay. But we start to say, it's not fair. It's not fair, God, I'm going through this trial. It's not fair, God. Listen, God never said it was going to be easy. God never said you were never going to have problems. God said, I'm going to get you through them. You know what's not fair? You know what's not fair is the fact that I'm a sinner. You know what's not fair is the fact that I have a police record, that I've been in the back of a police car twice, that I have issues, that I have problems. Hey, and you know what's not fair? Is I was raised in church and I knew better. Okay, you know what's not fair? Is that I have sins that I would never tell you. You know what's not fair? I've done drugs and I've cut myself and I've burned myself and I've hurt myself. I've gone too far with this person and that person. It's not fair that I get to go to heaven. It's not fair that as an innocent man, the Son of God, died on a cross for me and his blood was shed for me. It's not fair because I should have been up there. It's not fair. But instead of us throwing, you want fair, we all deserve to go to hell if we want fair. But you know what's amazing? God isn't fair. He's just. And God says, if you confess me, then I will deliver you. If you believe in me, then I will save you. If you are born again, then I'm going to clean you up and you're going to be a new person from the inside out. That's amazing. So instead of us saying it's not fair, we need to realize that, you know what, God has us going through these problems for a reason. David could have said, this is not fair that a bear got through to get my sheep. God, that's not fair. You said you would be there. You said that you'd protect me. God, it's not fair that a lion came through and it's going to eat my sheep. It's not fair, but you know what? David got up and he killed it, and it was good for him because then he could have the guts to kill Goliath. And it was good that he had the guts to kill Goliath because then he could endure the psycho crazy Saul who was trying to kill him, and now he is king. Do you guys get it? Do you understand? Those trials are for a reason, which leads me to number two. Number two thing to remember is that it's all good. You say, Pastor Michelle, that's like a saying from the 90s. No, it's a saying from the Bible, okay? It's from like, you know, the 90s BC. So turn to Romans 8:28, because I want to show you this. This is a good verse. You guys got your Bibles tonight? I hope so. Oh, you guys need to get your Bibles. Get your Bibles on your phones. Get your Bibles on your laps. Get your Bibles in paper, whatever it is. But it says in Romans 8:28. See, we're talking about trials. We're talking about hard times. And it says this, and we know that all things work together for good. See, it says that. It's all good. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. It's all good. It's going to work out. You're going to be okay. Do you think that when David started walking up to Goliath, he got his sling? You know, he said, no, I don't need the armor. I don't need the sword. You know, I just got my sling and my rocks. Do you think he started walking up and he was like, this is an enormous mistake I've just made here. I don't think I should be here. I should not be looking at Goliath. And do you think that maybe he had to say, you know what, it's all good. It's all good. It's all good, Israel. I'm going to handle this. Because he knew that God was in control. When you get in that fight with your parents, maybe they're talking about divorce. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I do want you to know this. You're not alone. God is with you, and it's going to be all good. It's going to work out good. It's going to be okay. You say, but why do I have to go through this trial? I don't know. If that's the question you want, I can't, you know, the answer that you want, I can't answer it. Only God can answer those types of questions. But I believe that years from now, you're going to be able to minister to somebody who's probably going through the same thing you went through. And you can turn to them and say, it's all good. It's all good. You're going to get through it. It's going to be okay. You see, guys, this is king and queen training. You want to act like a king? You want to act like a queen? Then you got to remember that stuff. What is the lesson that you can learn? What is the lesson that you can learn? And number two is it's all good. Did you guys get something out of this tonight? Good. Woo! I am excited for what God's going to do this weekend, but I'm more excited.